Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Shila Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Prasad. Thank you.
Hiranyakashipur Vakshaha. Sila Tanka Nakalaye. Narsingadev Jaya, Narsingadev Jaya, Narsingadev Jaya, Narsingadev. Punjabi Hari Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamunatira Banachari Jamunatira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivitagachara Jasta Tarasita Singh Srimad His Divine Grace D.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Samvira Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Back a bit so that I have a remote so I can move. Oh, sure, yeah. Is there anybody here who is new? You're new. Welcome, both of you. Welcome, both of you. But you practice yoga. Yes. Are you yoga instructors? Yes. Uh-huh. No. Yoga student? Okay. Are you familiar with Bhagavad Gita? A little bit. Okay. Okay. Are you familiar with Bhakti Yoga? Sure. Okay, that helps. Anyone else besides you two that are new? Okay, so I'll be looking eye contact a bunch because this is the final of the presentations that we've been having during the past 3 days. Some of the leaders of our North American ISKCON group of people have been having meetings, and we selected topics morning, evening, based upon some requests of our members and people out there in the universe, and so different topics, and one of them for this evening is this one. According to Bhagavad Gita, there's a distinction between the soul and the covering of the soul. And our real identity is the soul. And the whole process of yoga includes delivering the soul from bondage to the state of being free from bondage or transcendental state of consciousness. So there's a question. And what is it that does that delivering? That's the question that we're pursuing. And to make it really easy, the first three slides are summarizing what the topic is. The conclusion is coming first. Isn't that nice? So if you don't understand anything else besides these first three slides, in fact, the third one is going to be the concluding slide. So the first is that sound vibration, and even specifically mantra, delivers. And in the Maha Mantra that we like to sing a lot and chant a lot is the greatest or Maha Mantra. But mantras in general, this is taken from a section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Shiva has given to the Prachetas, some very fortunate souls, sons of a king, he gave them some prayers that he recites so that as they were undergoing austerities for 10,000 years, they would fix their mind upon the Supreme Lord through sound, through mantra. And in the course of that presentation, there's this discussion about the power of mantra. And this is from the purport, where Srila Prabhupada, when I refer to Srila Prabhupada, that's the founder. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, "The mantra delivers the conditioned soul from his bondage," semicolon. So, simply by chanting the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can gain deliverance from any condition. So, as it says across the top, this is a summary. Sound vibration, specifically transcendental sound vibration, specifically mantra, delivers. And then another is we speak of the spiritual master as delivering the conditioned soul from the bondage of birth and death. But there's a scriptural reference that said it's actually Krishna, and this is a summary or a conclusion, understanding. From the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the topic of Guru or Guru Tattva is discussed, this is a verse. According to delivered opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is none different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. So the function or service of spiritual master is instrumental. But the one who's holding the instrument or moving the instrument is Krishna. So, because the instrument represents the person who's moving the instrument gets some credit and therefore is to be honored as non-different from Krishna, but it's really Krishna that's doing delivering. So the first slide says Krishna delivers. Second slide says Krishna delivers. Now Krishna may, someone delivers the mantra, and someone, the spiritual master delivers teachings and other things, but it's just as an instrument. And then this is the third slide. Again, it's a summary message. Divyagyan. Well, you're going to hear this term, Divyagyan, a whole bunch. And Divyagyan, well, Gyan means knowledge. Yes, from Bhagavad Gita, knowledge. Like the Greek word is Gnosticism, cultivation of knowledge, trying to know things through cultivation of knowledge. So the Sanskrit word is jnana, and divya is an adjective meaning divine or transcendental knowledge. So the spiritual, these are deliverers, those five around divyagyan, all five of them, not just the spiritual master who gives the mantra over here, but then there's teachers that give instructions and that delivers divyagyan. The name delivers divyagyan, bhakti processes deliver divyagyan, and spiritual teachings deliver divyagyan. So any one of them or combination, you're in good shape. And so I'm going to unpack, mostly it's going to be this, all of what follows, so is unpacking this, and in spiritual circles, the rule is if you make some utterance or some statement or declaration, you should support it with scriptural evidence. So that's what I'm going to do. That's the statement. And then there's scriptural evidence. We're going to start with Narottam Das Thakur. There's a nice painting of Narottam Das Thakur. And you may not know this, but we sing a song by Narottam Das Thakur in our temple activity every day. Here is one of the lines. Chakudana Dilale Janme Janme Prabhu Se Divya Gyan Hriday means in the heart. Prokashito, he manifests. So he is the pronoun. He is the one who is being honored. He who Divya Gyan Hriday Prokashito, he who manifests transcendental knowledge within the heart. Or the translation, the spiritual master opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord birth after birth. So a spiritual master imparts Divya Gyan. We say that every day, or sing it every day. And if we recite the English, that's the meaning. Jiva Goswami, another of our great acharyas, has written in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, under the title of Bhakti Sandarbha, one of his writings, he discusses this Divya Gyan principle by quoting two verses. The place where it's found is Anuchet 283, you know, division. And the first of the two verses is, it's drawn from Hari Bhakti Vilas. You'll see that reference in a minute. But Divya Gyan, Yato Dhadyat, excuse me, Divyam Gyanam Yato Dhadyat, Kuryat Papas Yasangshayat, Tasmat Diksheti, Sa Prokta, Deshikais Tata Govidai. What does that mean? Diksha, that's this word here, Diksha, or initiation, is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge. So when initiation takes place, Divya Gyan is transmitted or imparted or awakened. And vanquishing of all reactions caused by sinful activities. Or here's an alternative translation. The knowers of the truth. That's these folks here, the Deshikais Tattva Govidai, the learned persons, knowers of the truth, define Diksha, or initiation, as such because from it one receives Divya Gyanam, so this first syllable, or D-I, is indicating transcendental knowledge, or Divya Gyan, and Ksha, in the Diksha, indicates that sins are destroyed. So this is some scriptural evidence to indicate where does Divya Gyan come from, which brings one to the transcendental position. So please be a little patient with me. It's like a lawyer building a case. And the lawyer refers to the law books when making his case. So if you're not familiar with the law books, then it's, you know, maybe too technical. Sorry about that. But it's scriptural support to indicate where are the sources of Divya Gyan that delivers the soul from conditioned to a liberated state. That's what we're talking about. So again, this Diksha has these two syllables, one indicating the transcendental knowledge part, and the other is the deliverance from sin. Papa in Sanskrit means sin, not like daddy. Another meaning. Papa means sin. And chayam papasya is sin is destroyed. And then Jiva Goswami quotes a second verse, also from this Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is drawing from, you know, the Shruti portion of the Vedas. Here's the Sanskrit translation. Therefore, after offering respects to Guru and offering everything to him, one should accept a Vaishnav mantra with the aforesaid diksha according to the rules. So, Jiva Goswami wants to explain Divyagyan. To explain it, he makes scriptural reference taken from the Vedas, Agamas, the Vedas. Now he's going to give his commentary. In case you don't read Sanskrit, here's a little translation of his commentary. Divyagyan means two things. Knowledge of the Lord's Swarup. Swarup means form. So Krishna has a form. So Divyagyan means, when Divyagyan is imparted, it means two things. Knowledge of the Lord's form and knowledge of one's own spiritual relationship with the Lord. It's bhakti when it's done properly. It's knowledge of the Supreme and our relationship with Him through the process of diksha. And then he indicates archana is mainly for wealthy householders. So this is in a section, this description of Divyagyan and initiation is in a section, the heading is about deity worship. And that's what this is over here. Archana is on the altar, we have deities, and the process of deity worship involves use of mantra. And in fact, to qualify one to do deity worship, one has to receive mantra. One has to be duly initiated. And Jiva Goswami is teaching that process of initiation, diksha, that qualifies one to worship the deity, imparts transcendental knowledge, and it destroys sin. So its specific purpose is for deity worship. So now here's a little graphic chart that says, the picture that says the so many words. Mantra imparts transcendental knowledge. And diksha is giving of a mantra that imparts transcendental knowledge. And knowledge of these two types. And knowledge, we know from Bhagavad Gita, destroys sin. Over here. So this is what the process of diksha is. Now, certainly the diksha guru is important, because without the diksha guru, you don't get the mantra, you don't get the Divyagyan and the destruction of sin. So, in that song that we sing by Narottam Das Thakur, we appreciate the guru who gives transcendental knowledge. Divyagyan Vridhe Prakashito. He does so by giving the mantra that imparts. So it's really the mantra that imparts transcendental knowledge. The guru gives the mantra, so he gets some credit. But it's the mantra. And the mantra is Krishna, so Krishna delivers. There's a nice picture. This is Kaliya Krishna's graphic work. Very creative. Showing the cover picture of Sri Brahma Samhita, and here's what the cover actually looks like. This is Lord Brahma, who is born on a lotus that's from the ocean of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. And Krishna plays upon his flute, and see that little blue line? That's the sound of the flute entering the ears of Lord Brahma in the form of Gayatri Mantra, Kama Gayatri Mantra specifically. And the verse from Brahma Samhita that describes that is right here. There's the Sanskrit. This is the verse just before the Govinda prayers. The Govinda prayers start with 59. Excuse me, 29. This is 28. So the verse just before his realization of Krishna is describing he gets realization of himself. Remember the two forms? The Sarup, or the form of the Supreme Lord, and one's own relationship with Krishna. Here's Brahma being described this way, enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, that sound he heard from Krishna's flute in the form of Gayatri Mantra, which embodied the three Vedas. Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn, the Govinda prayers. And here's Bhaktisiddhanta's purport. Brahma thought thus within himself, quote, "By the recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna." So his relationship with Krishna became revealed. Not in its fullness yet, because that happens later on in text 36, when one comes to a very advanced stage of bhakti, bhava bhakti, one's spiritual form and paraphernalia and conveyances and residential places and all those things become revealed. But prior to the bhava bhakti stage, which is where Lord Brahma is in progress at this point, he's realized that it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. And then he has all these wonderful realizations about Krishna as well. So these two things became awakened in him through mantra. I lost anybody yet? We're doing all right. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth, and then he started speaking truths or Vedic wisdom through his beautiful prayers. So here's a little graphic again, just so it could be really easy to understand. Diksha has these two things. It awakens spiritual knowledge and it destroys sins and the cause of sins, that's material desires. It has that potency. Now, this very same section, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, those of us that are followers in ISKCON, we know this. The summary study of this book is Nectar Devotion. It's one of the essential devotional texts that we study. And one of our great acharyas pictured here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, wrote a commentary on that book. And that's the title. Bindu means like a drop. A drop of the ocean of nectar of devotion. And he's describing in this commentary this particular point. It's a long text, but from that long text, he's describing Diksha as not just an event. Rather, it's a process. And it's a process that begins from the day of Diksha, but it's an ongoing process. That is to say, spiritual knowledge continues to awaken and sin continues to be destroyed. Not a one-time deal, you walk away and now I'm enlightened. But rather, it's a process or procedure that begins and continues as there's a small condition that the conscious attention continues to go to the mantra, to Krishna, and so forth. The submission unto Krishna continues. Then the process also continues. The transcendental knowledge further becomes illuminated, in other words. So there's this. Now, this is from Bhagavad Gita, but also from other sources. There's a cause and effect relationship that knowledge has upon relief of suffering. Well, suffering, ignorance is the cause of suffering. Prabhupada has said this a zillion times. The root cause of suffering is ignorance. So knowledge destroys ignorance. And the result of ignorance being destroyed is karma is destroyed. That is, are suffering from reactions and further doing the same foolish things or sinful things through the power of transcendental knowledge. At least the potency is there for that. So I'm going to come back in a moment to this causal principle, but I want to first just go to Srila Prabhupada for a moment. That's Srila Prabhupada here, our founder, Acharya. And some things that he said during classes on this point of Divya Gyan. It's nothing new, it's just a very nice way where Srila Prabhupada said what you've already seen. He repeated the words of our previous Acharyas. That's the message of this slide. But the details are also very nice. Divya Gyan, Hriday Prakashito, that's this Narottama Das Thakur song that we sing when we do our Guru Puja. What is that, Divya Gyan? Divya Gyan is that we are all servant of Krishna and our only business is to serve Krishna. Divya Gyan. This is Divya Gyan. Diksha. Diksha means from this, Divya Gyan. From Diksha, Divya Gyan. That is Di. And Ksha means Kshapayati, or eradicate sin. He says, saying the same thing that you already saw in his own language. I happened to be present when he was giving that class, so it has special meaning. It was in New York, 1976. And another time in Auckland, New Zealand, same message. The very word initiation suggests this is a beginning. Diksha. Diksha. Di. Divya. There are two words. Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan means transcendental spiritual knowledge. So Divya is Di. And Gyanam. Kashyap. Kshapayati. Explaining. That is Ksha, Diksha. That is called Diksha. Diksha, the combination. So Diksha means the initiation to begin transcendental activities. He's just breaking down the Sanskrit of the word Diksha, including these two things. Okay, so now back to this causal message. And for our regular ISKCON devotees, this acronym NOD, that's Nectar of Devotion. And that's the summary study of this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So many of us have read this many, many times. This is extracted from there. This is to explain the cause of sin. The cause of sin. Sin brings suffering. And the root cause of suffering is ignorance. So, generally, these are summarizing messages from chapter 1. Relief from material distress. Generally, one commits sinful activities due to ignorance. Knowledge eradicates ignorance. Rupa Goswami says that the distresses from sinful activities are due both to the sins themselves and sins committed in our previous life. So we do something that is sinful, it creates a reaction, and there's stuff that's from the old stuff that's coming presently from past lives and present lives. Those are two categories. Now, devotional service, according to chapter 1, devotional service has this power of kleshagni. That means sufferings are eradicated. Devotional service, even in the beginning stage, has this power to eradicate sufferings due to past sins, even for beginners. And continuing the same chapter, varieties of bhakti in this preliminary stage have this potency also. Prabhupada writes, quote, all of these reactions to sinful deeds can immediately be stopped if we take to Krishna consciousness, that's bhakti. The sinful desire seed, not just the reaction to something in the past, but even the tendency to do it again, can be removed only by achieving Krishna consciousness or bhakti. That's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as well, Canto 6. And this can be accomplished very easily by chanting the Maha Mantra or Hare Krishna Mantra as recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even a beginning person who just begins to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra authoritatively according to Nectar Devotion or Rupa Goswami's writings, the sufferings of sin and even the causes of more sin can be eradicated. So once again, this is a similar heading, ignorance, which is the cause of sin and suffering, is destroyed by bhakti. And that knowledge becomes awakened within the bhakta. Or here's how Prabhupada writes, the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness is so strong that the snakes of ignorance are immediately killed. And similar, so I feel a little like, because you're new, you don't, this is like, where was this, is too much information. I feel bad because it's like all new and new and new and new. But you, if you just catch the thread, what I'm attempting to do with our devotees here that have read some of these literatures is these are specific references that support those first three slides. And it's what the responsibility of someone speaking in spiritual circles is. You say something, you support it from statements in scripture. So here we go. This is Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the purport. There are three stages of fructification for sinful activity. At one stage, one commits a sinful act. Before that, the seed of this act exists. And before that, there is ignorance whereby one commits the sin. Suffering is involved in all three stages. However, Krishna is merciful to his devotee, and consequently, he immediately nullifies all three stages, the sin, the seed of the sin, and the ignorance that leads us to sin. And as Prabhupada is writing this in his purport, guess what? He refers to scripture. He refers to Padma Purana. And there's the Padma Purana verse that the translation reads. There are different stages of dormant reactions to sinful activities to be observed in a sinful life. Sinful reactions may be, here's the first kind, just waiting to take effect. Palon mukha. Reactions that may be still further dormant, kuta, or reactions that may be in a seed-like state, bija. And there's a fourth one. That's what's happening right now. That's prarabdha. In any case, all types of sinful reactions are vanquished one after another in red font if a person engages in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. So what's the message? These are references indicating that bhakti destroys sin. How does it do so? It awakens transcendental knowledge, which destroys ignorance, which destroys sin. So all types of devotional service deliver divyagyan, or spiritual knowledge, since they include knowledge of the Lord's Swarupa and our relationship with the Lord. Consequently, they destroy sin. This is the theme here. And here are some examples. There's so many examples in this chapter 9. A person whose body is decorated with the pulp of sandalwood with paintings of the holy name of the Lord is delivered from all sinful reactions, and after his death, he goes directly to Krishna Loka and to live in association with the personality of Godhead. You sign up, we have right outside the door pulp of sandalwood and paintings of the holy name ready for you. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said, quote, a person who sees the Lord's Rath Yatra Kar festival and then stands up to receive the Lord can purge all kinds of sinful results from his body. And there's so many other examples from that chapter. So here's another source of Divya Gyan. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. In an assembly of sages, there's Narada Muni and many other sages hearing. And from that hearing, Divya Gyan is awakened. Here's a very famous verse, Canto 1, that indicates, by rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge. There it is, Gyanam. Causeless knowledge. Ahaitukam. Causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. And in the fourth canto, this is a quote from Nectar Devotion, next chapter 10, where it says the same thing. Shukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit, my dear king, one should stay at a place where the great acharyas, or holy teachers, speak about the transcendental activities of the Lord, and one should give oral reception to the nectarian river flowing from the moon-like faces of such great personalities. If someone eagerly continues to hear such transcendental sounds, then certainly he'll be freed from all material hunger, thirst, fear, and lamentation, as well as illusions of material existence. What's the message? The message is that hearing is a source of transcendental knowledge, or Divya Gyan, as is initiation, or as is the mantra. Just hearing such topics. Or, not only through initiation, but just through instruction. Do you two know you know what shiksha is? You've heard that term? No. Shiksha means instruction. You've heard diksha? Initiation. So, along with initiation, there may be shiksha, or instruction. So the message is, one who gives instruction is also giving proper instruction, is giving transcendental knowledge. Here's examples. On our altar, the middle altar is Kishore Kishori. Down below, there's four pictures. And in those four pictures, it gives the names of some of the personalities that are named here. And their relationship was not initiated by, but rather they were receiving instructions from. So their transcendental position was achieved through instruction. That's the indication here. Now, we're going to go, we're almost done. We're going to go now back again to the name. And there's the name that's chanted with transcendental knowledge and the name that's not chanted with transcendental knowledge. So there's some references that say This is the very simple fact. The name of Krishna is Krishna. So Krishna doesn't need anything or anyone, any help. He can deliver. Thank you very much. And so just chanting, even if you don't know anything properly, without proper understanding, the power is there. So there's some references that speak like that. And then there's going to be something that's going to go to the other side. But we're not so qualified, so we need these other things. So the holy name of the Lord is fully identical with the Lord, not partially. The word Purna means complete. The Lord is omnipotent and omniscient, and similarly his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, everything pertaining to him are complete, pure, eternal, and freed from material contamination. So his name is himself, and that's ultimate Divyagyan. Just chant. Now, this is a drawing of Rupa Goswami, who elaborated on this a little bit. Whoops. It's taken from a series of beautiful writings, sayings or poetry, and one of the portions of Padyavali, glorifying the name, he says, the holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberated persons. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful, save for the dumb who cannot chant it. It is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. So, you want deliverance? Chant. And taken from Nectar Devotion, similarly, another reference. A person who chants the holy name of Krishna once can counteract the resultant action of more sinful activities than he is able to perform. Don't continue performing them, but the potency is there in the name to counteract them. And a similar discussion by Haridas Thakur. This is a Murti of Haridas Thakur from Jagannath Puri. Puri? To the Jagannath Temple, Jagannath Rath Yatra, on the eastern side of India, in Orissa. So this is, he resided there and he was chanting literally all day long. Literally all day long. So, quoting from Haridas Thakur, he said, the chanting of the Lord's holy name to indicate something other than the Lord is an instance of namabhas. Namabhas means a shadow or a reflection of the name. You don't mean to say Krishna's name, you just say his name. You intend something else. Even when the holy name is chanted in this way, its transcendental power is not destroyed. And he goes on, if one offenselessly utters the holy name, even imperfectly, one can be freed from all the results of sinful life. Even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all the reactions of sinful life. So, very powerful. That's namabhas. So this means accidental, without proper knowledge, just somebody says the name of the Lord. We have the Ajamila just topic in Srimad Bhagavatam is a classic example given by Shukadeva Goswami. So there's no initiation, no mantra is given by the guru, but one somehow chants the name, still there's effect. Transcendental knowledge awakens and sin is destroyed. That's the summary graphic depiction. Whoops. What to speak of when there's proper knowledge? That permits the pure chanting of the holy name, and not only there's destruction of sin, but the stage of prema can come. So we want this, so we need this, along with chanting. And another of our great acharyas, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a drawing of his writing at Radhakund in Vrindavan, where he's describing in Chaitanya Charitamrita this verse, and then he comments on the verse, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, Nasjeva, Nasjeva Gatiranyata. Translation, for spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative, in case you didn't get it, there is no alternative, there is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. And further, he writes, in a conversation by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to others, if this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, one does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class can be delivered. And going to the previous verse, quoting, O best of the Brahmanas, even without initiation, preliminary purification, is purascharya is the technical term, or acceptance of the renounced order, sannyas, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. And the purport reads, in part, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. It's very strong evidence, isn't it? And future statement, when a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, that's this purushcharya regulation, etc. The holy name does not wait for any one of these activities that is self-sufficient, because Krishna is Krishna. The name and the person are the same. And purport indicates we don't need paraphernalia, and so on. So, however, although it is correct that one who fully engages in chanting the holy name need not depend on the process of initiation, generally, a devotee is addicted to many abominable material habits due to material contamination from his previous life. In order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, it is required that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple. And so for worship of the Lord in the temple, the mantra is required. And mantra means diksha. So we do both, chanting and worship, to most effectively achieve the benefit of the name. So there are these two. There's the name, where there's no diksha, but there's proper knowledge. And there's diksha, where there's the mantra and knowledge, and one can do deity worship. So supposing one doesn't have this diksha, then you can just chant. And for further purification and effect, diksha is helpful, and then deity worship becomes possible. And this is more technical than most of you. Anyway, this is the main process of Krishna consciousness. Devotional service, where we receive instructions, please chant the holy name, we chant the holy name, and we engage in kirtan. And that's what we do. And over here, this is the parallel process of deity worship following the teachings of the scripture. There's a procedure for initiation when we get mantra, then we can do deity worship. And they go well together, side by side. That's what this chart is indicating. Very helpful. Conclusion. We're almost done. There's multiple sources of Divyagyan. And the effects of Divyagyan, which is the destruction of sin. And when those processes are taken up properly, the goal of prema, or love for Krishna, can be achieved. Primarily, this is now a statement specifically made by Bhanu Swami, his rendering of all of this. Some of you may know Bhanu Swami from South India. Actually, he's from Japan. But anyway, he's a Sanskrit translator. And his summary is, Diksha Guru is especially imperative for deity worship. But transcendental knowledge can come through any process of bhakti, through chanting, even without initiation. But it does require proper teachings to get the full effect. And that means one requires an authorized teacher to get Divyagyan properly. And then, you know, he's indicating the primary position, our founder Acharya's primary position as the primary source of shiksha for all members within ISKCON. And we're done. This is the starting slide where deliverance from our material condition, which is bound by ignorance, is delivered by transcendental knowledge, and there's multiple sources of this transcendental knowledge. The process of initiation is very important, but it's not singular. There are many sources that give transcendental knowledge. So they're all encouraged. And now, you know, way back to the very beginning, ultimately it's Krishna who's the deliverer. And that certainly makes sense because the material energy is under his control. Maya jakshena prakriti. So if the illusory energy is to be withdrawn, Krishna is the one that withdraws it. So he has instruments through whom he works, or through which he works. And the Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, these two personalities over here, the one that gives the teachings is the Shiksha Guru, the one that gives the mantra is the Diksha Guru. And then there's those of us that just encourage people to chant, and we chant and we engage people in chanting, and that's another way of awakening Divyagyan. Or we engage people in the process of devotional service. Just as instruments, we do devotional service, we, you know, hey, give me a hand, and we do a devotional service. Fundamental of all is the scriptural reference for these things, so we don't get deviated and get off track. We stay on track, and transcendental knowledge is imparted in that way. So it's time for discussion. I see one hand up already.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for this very, very nice presentation. I'm sorry I was a little late. I had some service. I had to drop a devotee off. But from what I saw of the presentation, it seems like a very nice subject matter. My question, I have several questions. I think it's probably the most relevant. After one attains the stage of nishtha, what role does this understanding of Divya Gyan as delivering the soul play into the picture? Because
according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's ongoing. It's operative and expanding. It's not static and, you know, toss it away. It's essential, operative, and dynamic, ever-increasing, requiring continuing submission and so forth.
So just to further elaborate a little bit, to get a little bit more out of your answer in terms of it continues and it's dynamic, are you saying that, you know, after the stage of Nishtha, when one's taste for Krishna or taste for the activities of devotion is more prominent?
Sure.
Because the majority of the sins are
ordered. Well, I didn't say that, but that's true.
I'm sorry?
I didn't say that, but that's true.
Right. So my question is, after Nishtha, I think Prabhupada said 75% of the anarthas are finished.
Well, you missed it. Should we go back to this one of the important slides that missed?
I can go back and watch the video. You don't have to waste everyone's time for my sake. I can go back and watch the video. Because
what you're asking is already answered in one of the slides.
Okay, then I'll just go back and watch it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question is in regards to a point that I hear from Prabhupada over and over, particularly of these aspects, the mercy of the Guru as means his deliverance, and he often quotes Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasada. So how does the role of receiving the mercy of the Guru, or pleasing the Guru, one receives the benediction of Krishna? How does that factor into it?
Well, that's a nice question. That's going to be one full hour and a half presentation in Gita Nagari. You coming to Gita Nagari? You can watch the recordings. They'll be posted at night online. But it's a whole topic. The question you asked is a topic. How does it work? In short, Krishna gives his mercy that way. He has distributors of his mercy. So he invests power to someone to give his mercy and himself through others. That's how it works, in short. Luke.
My question is quite similar to a Chinese rule. It's just kind of like seeking confirmation. It seems, from like the philosophical perspective, in terms of tattva.
In terms of tattva,
Krishna delivers the jiva.
Yes.
In terms of mood, the disciple's affection for the guru is predominant. And I'm thinking of like Prahlad Maharaj,
sure,
with Narada. Because, anyway, like you're saying, you know, it's a very large topic, but is that...
Well, that question that you're asking is another topic that Rabindra Sarup Prabhu was going to speak on. The tva in tattva. Guru Tattva, the Tva portion of Tattva. It's Krishna is Guru Tattva. It's one of the five Tattvas. It's Krishna. Guru Tattva is one of the five. It's the first one in chapter one of Adi Leela. It's one of the Tattvas. And that's Krishna. So Guru bears that tva, that ness, the quality of Krishna, his mercy. That's a short answer for another hour and a half class. But you can guarantee, I guarantee you, it'll be like, ooh, it'll be brilliant. Because he's brilliant. He's really prepared. That's his first class, Saturday morning. You going to be there? Well, see the recording. It'll be posted, and we'll see that it gets posted right away. Yes. Okay.
Hare Krishna. To ask, kind of piggyback on what he asked.
Sure.
Would you say that the guru, but the mercy of the guru is from Krishna because the guru has realized his oneness with Krishna, and because of that, Krishna pours through the guru, and the mercy is really coming from Krishna?
About 80% of what you said, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. The part that I wouldn't say yes to is not that he's realized his oneness with Krishna, but he's realized his relationship with. Because relationship means
two.
Actually, it's three. The lover, the beloved, and the feelings of love. So he's realized that. And because of that love, whatever Krishna knows, he gives to the devotee, his loved, his beloved. Whatever, at least whatever one needs to know, Krishna gives. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad. Didami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. Krishna gives that. So because of that oneness in love, and fully realizing the loving relationship that's eternally situated within the heart, then everything he needs to know. And so the guru can give that because he has it, because Krishna's given it to him. And he's just like wanting to give it out. The people are running the other way, going, you know, I'm too busy or something.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Nice question. Thank you.
From what we heard today, Divya Jnana and Prema can manifest even without initiation or Diksha. And Diksha or Diksha mantras are necessary for Pancharatra line or method. So I'm asked this question often. Why should one be initiated if one can take teachings from Prabhupada or any of Prabhupada's followers? And that's the Bhagavata mark. Fantastic.
Sure.
Why get initiated?
Good question. There's a good answer to a good question. I'll give in those references from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyamaka chapter 17, texts 107, 108, 109, there's like 6-7 page purports. And in those purports, the essence is, if you're on the platform of Shukadeva Goswami, all you need is the holy name. I'm paraphrasing and simplifying. But in case you're not, these other assisting features are required by us. But the holy name stands on its own. And if one can receive the holy name properly, it's all you need. It's all you need. In case you're not on the platform, because Shukadeva Goswami was not initiated, no diksha, no emphasis for him. He was, didn't require it, what the rest of us commonly require. And so there are some quotes in this little presentation that say that. Because the mind is contaminated by so much involvement in the material energy, that which will further assist us to become disconnected with that contamination of the material energy. This process of diksha is there. It leads us in part, not entirely, but in part to worship. Let's just see if there's someone else. Because, how are we doing? Anyone over here? Okay. Yes, Jagatananda.
Maharaj, there is a verse in the scriptures, I don't know the Sanskrit, which says that unless a mantra is received in a parampara, it does not have the efficacy.
It's in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then from the presentation, as he also summarized, it seems that Diksha classically is the term Diksha used for like Gayatri Mantra, Harinam Mantra. It seems that for Harinam, one may not require Diksha. Of course, unless...
I'm waiting for your finish. I'm waiting for the punchline of the question.
Yeah, so the punchline of the question, two things. From the discussion, it seemed like the word Diksha, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it refers classically to the Gayatri Mantra.
You used the right word. Classically, or in the Vaidika system. There's the Vaidika system and there's the Pancharatrika system. In the Vaidika system, what you said is mantra, diksha, refers to Gayatri mantra. Just like Brahma received, actually two, from Saraswati and then from Krishna's flute. And that Saraswati is not his later on his wife, Saraswati, the material goddess Saraswati. It's the internal potency, the prototype Saraswati. Anyway, in any case, he received Gayatri Mantra, a particular Gayatri Mantra from her, which he chanted for 1,000 years. It's a long time to chant a mantra. And then he received this next mantra from Krishna's flute, Kam Gayatri, where he then realized his spiritual identity and the form of Krishna, both. So those are received, that's initiation. In his case, directly from Krishna. And then one who received from Brahma, or in disciplic succession. That's mantra diksha. Over here is the Pancharatrika system, where it doesn't require. We, you know, go in the public in all kinds of places and engage in chanting of the holy name, and people are receiving the holy name. We're giving and they're receiving the holy name. It doesn't require initiation, and there's purification that's taking place from that. And that's the Pancharatrika system. And it's so merciful. It doesn't require anything. Om apavitra pavitrova. Purified or unpurified. Sarvavastam gatopiva. Having passed through all circumstances. Just here. So that Pancharatrika system helps qualify one for the Vaidika system. The two are married or connected, at least. So when the word diksha is used, there's the traditional or classical or Vaidika system, which means receiving Gayatri Mantra. The way that Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada gave, there's two dikshas. And actually, for sannyas, there's a third, where a mantra is received. Sannyas mantra comes along with sannyas diksha. And then we'll go backwards, and then there's Gayatri Diksha, or second initiation, and then there's initiation into the chanting of the holy name. And it's not an empty ritual. It's diksha. And one becomes initiated into the chanting of the holy name. Now, there's this discussion, Nityananda Pran's question. Is it necessary? Reference says, Krishna doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anybody. He alone can deliver. Potency is there. Because of our material contamination and entanglement in the material energy, we require, or it's recommended, or it's beneficial, or one should. And so Prabhupada didn't emphasize that little section, Although he wrote it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he didn't emphasize it. He emphasized one should receive initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and didn't distinguish between the Vaidika system and the Panchatrika system. Because the essence for the audience that Prabhupada was addressing, which is the world, it's, you know, uncultured personalities. They require that faith and taking shelter in the qualified person, indicated in part by the process of initiation. So he didn't unpack it all. What I'm doing here is, you know, unpacking it a bit, not even completely. Is that all right? Something further?
Yeah, and then Krishna also says, as you said, in Bhagavad Gita itself, the tadviti pranipatena, he says, approach a bona fide spiritual master. And then he also says,
yeah,
one who is my devotee is actually not my devotee. A devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So he's encouraging.
Yes,
same Krishna encouraging. Is also encouraging.
He's encouraging. Yeah. He's encouraging shiksha, he's encouraging diksha of the different types. He's also encouraging chanting his holy name. Satatam kirtayantomam. Now Prahlad's got a question. Go ahead.
Can somebody perform archana for the deities on the altar?
Somebody does what?
Can someone, anybody offer deity worship to the Lord,
yeah,
without having diksha but still being a pure devotee?
Well, do you have deities in your home?
Yes.
And
I'm
do you worship
about
your deities in your home?
Yes.
And you initiate a devotee?
No.
Can you become purified by that?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm asking like the temple deities.
Oh, these deities on the altar? Well, we wouldn't allow somebody that's not initiated to do the deity worship on the altar. If you tried to go on the altar, we'd catch you with a hook. But in your home, and it's not like imitation or, you know, fiction or something, it's deity worship. Your mom will tell you it's deity worship. I'll tell you it's deity worship. Deity worship. But the standard required for you in your home is not the same as on the altar. No, but your first question, the answer is yes. Does that satisfy you? Okay. Over here. Some of the persons that haven't. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
My question is, all the benefits of chanting the holy name, are they diminished or reduced by Naam Aparat or Vaishnava Aparat? Are they in any way, we have heard all those good benefits.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you?
The question is, I've heard all this benefits of chanting holy name. Even once, if you chant holy name.
Even once.
Even once, yes.
Even once.
Yeah. So what is that stops us from attaining Divya Jnana? Is it Naam Aparat or Vaishnava Aparat?
Well, Vaishnava Aparat is one of the 10 Naam Aparats. Correct?
Yes.
Vaishnava Aparat is the first of the list of 10. It's one of the offenses against the holy name.
Right.
So it may not be that number one out of 10. It may be that one, or maybe others, or combination. But it's offenses of, you know, of the, out of that list of 10 or combination. That's the obstacle. So what do we do? Is that the next question?
Yeah, my question, what I'm saying is we should put a star over there and fine line at the bottom saying that beware of Naam Aparat.
Oh. Okay.
All this is wonderful, but beware.
Okay. Well, let's just, if I understand what you're saying or recommending, being wary is one thing, and not chanting because I might make some offense against chanting, so I better get offenseless before I chant, That's not recommended. Not that saying that you're recommending it, but some people, you know, get mental, and that's where the mind goes. I better not chant, because if I make offenses, then I won't reach Krishna prema, so I just won't chant. Till I get, you know, perfect, and then I can chant. Anyway, or something like that. Yes. We have 5.5 minutes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, why different Vaishnava Sampradayas have different Diksha Mantras when it is clearly said that it is Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam? Why is that the potency of the Hare Krishna Mantra, it's different in another sampradaya? It is not the same mantra there.
You said like three different things, but let me help you. Maha mantra doesn't matter, isn't dependent upon sampradaya. It's Maha mantra, period. So anyone, you know, from any birth or anything, its effect is there. Now, back to what Jagatananda was asking, which seems to be part of what you're asking. There's Gayatri mantras, and other sampradayas have other Gayatri mantras, which they receive by initiation. And within, if you come to the Gita Nagara, you'll hear, within the mantra itself, the name and the consciousness of the person giving the name is imparted. So suppose, let's say, for example, supposing I'm a Sri Vaishnava and my life is the worship of Lord Narayana, and Lord Narayana resides in Vaikuntha. So the mantra that I have received from my guru is in the mood of worship of Narayana in Vaikuntha. The mantra will reflect that, the mood will reflect that, the mood of my chanting will reflect that, and that destination will be my destination. My consciousness that will be awakened through that mantra and destination. That's one sampradaya. Then there's another, where Goloka Vrindavan and Govinda in Goloka Vrindavan is the form of love within the mantra and within the giver of the mantra, and I receive that mantra. So it's a different mantra that's going to take me to a different mood and a different destination. So there's differences in Gayatri mantras. And Maha mantra, it's for everybody. Doesn't matter. Primarily, the Maha mantra is awakening the mood of service. It's very broad. Like this, you know, back the picture of Lord Brahma receiving Gayatri from Krishna's flute. That's very specific. Maha mantra is very broad. Please engage me in service. Okay, what kind of service? Well, here's your Gayatri mantra. This kind of service. In this mood.
Can I ask a follow-up
question? Sure. You've got 2.5 minutes.
Again, the same mantra which Dhruva Maharaj got from, received from Narad Muni. It was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay.
And I'm again comparing that with the Kali Yuga mantra, Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So, you talked about the consciousness and the
Yes.
The mantra, the giver.
Yes. And the Dhruva, excuse me, Narada Muni primarily is a Vaikunthavasi. He's a resident of Vaikuntha. He has capacity to go here and there, but his mood primarily is that mood. So giving that mantra to Dhruva, that was the outcome. Lord Vishnu came. You follow? the mantra and the person giving the mantra impart a certain bhava or mood of love. Is it clear? So come to Gita Nagari, because we ran out of time. It'll be discussed more in Gita Nagari.
Thank you, Maharaj.
By the way, Gita Nagari is a farm community, and a group of us will be going to this nice farm community and having an extensive retreat along with peacocks and cows and birds and trees and nature. A nice retreat discussing topics like this. Srila Prabhupada ki.